B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me just tell you, I saw Mike Reese running through the hallway literally minutes ago, and I said, Mike, what's going on? And he said, Rob Gronkowski just retired. So this was a shock to you and the New England Patriots.
Well, it was, Sal. It happened around 2:55, and it happened on Instagram. Rob Gronkowski posting it on his Instagram account. My first reaction, let me check in with the team, make sure that they were aware of this, that they didn't find out via Instagram. And I'm told from a team spokesman that Rob Gronkowski did call the team and inform him
of his
decision.
But he was at the facility all this offseason.
He was, Sal. You know, he was showing up on a regular basis, whether that was to get treatment or not. The indication as time went on and we knew he was still weighing his future, the thought process was if he's still showing up at the facility, perhaps that means he's thinking about playing next season. So this takes a little bit of an unexpected turn.
Greece, as you just heard, the guy who covers absolutely everything. Here's a thought that I have about Rob Gronkowski and how it impacted the team this offseason. I don't care about the cap space. Cap space is nice. It's good to have. That's not my major concern. My major concern is the planning. If you knew 3 weeks ago or a month ago that he wasn't coming back, you could have been better prepared to plan your approach in free agency and through trades for the entire offense. It would have been more of an urgent matter to get a free agent tight end. It maybe would have been more urgent to land a quality receiver, although it appears the Patriots have already operated with urgency on that front. But at the very least, the tight end position might look different right now if they had known, they had more advanced notice on this. Now they're chasing Jared Cook. Jared Cook is all but signed in New Orleans with the Saints, and he and his agent have said they're not going to be talking to the Patriots, but they've been making a last-ditch effort to try and get him to change his mind. So, I don't know. That part of it is a little bit interesting in that if they had known for sure a month ago, they could have gone into free agency knowing that and saying, we got to get a tight end. They didn't do that. They didn't operate that way. So that, to me, is the biggest concern. Not so much about the money, although the money does help now. Now they can take care of a few things, like getting their kicker under contract. It also allows you to not have a rush on getting that Brady deal done, by the way, which we're still waiting on.
And, you know, I mean, Zoe, we figured Brady knew this was coming. He was ready with the social media response and all that
stuff. Well, they do all their little videos together, walking off the plane to KC. Didn't they just do one after the Super Bowl to be continued?
I mean, if you're Tom Brady, how do you feel about your team right now?
I think he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
I honestly do. I don't think he's blindsided by this.
Could the Patriots and could Tom Brady conceivably go into the year right now with Brady playing out the final year of his deal?
Yeah. Sure they could.
We had always thought that was...
Is that good operating business?
No, it's impossible. There's no way they're going to go into the year.
Is this a walk-off year for everybody?
Is it a lame duck year? Lame duck year?
Is it too early for me to ask, like, who's the second best team in the AFC East? Is it the Jets?
Oh,
now?
Get the hell out of here!
No, is
with
it the
that.
Jets?
Oh, who's the second best?
Don't
team?
Start because you're.
I thought you were saying. Like,
don't start because you're selling corny T-shirts now. Okay?
I'm not selling them. They did that without my knowledge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tomato can shirt.
So you get no cut out of that.
I get nothing.
Oh, typical.
I get nothing. Your I get bupkis. No.
My God.
I know, but back to the point. Like, are the Jets the second best team in the AFC East?
I don't know, and I don't care, because it's still...
Well, I know it's not the
you
Dolphins.
You know what? And I say that because if they are, they're still so distant.
I mean, the Dolphins, you know what I mean? The Dolphins are tanking. They're like...
Jets. I mean, it should Jets. Be the Jets.
Should be the
it
Jets.
Should be.
Should be.
But okay. You know how that goes. That might not end up being
the
true.
Jets. They're the Jets.
Right.
Yeah. Say the quarterback gets killed in week four.
Yeah.
Who's the backup?
And somebody said that he's the best quarterback in the AFC East, right?
Who?
Some media person.
Oh, yeah, Manish.
Said Darnold.
Yeah.
Is the best quarterback in the AFC.
Well, when you throw poop against the wall so many times, you know what ends up happening? It ends
what
up sticking.
Now, that will be true once Brady is retired.
He's trolling people. Yeah, Manish put this out like 2 weeks
people
ago.
Do that.
Yeah, you've never done that.
No. I just write my opinions, you know, just what's good investigative journalism.
Mike is in the car. Hey, Mike.
Well, hey, guys, getting to that, what Sean just said, didn't you just say it's increasingly uncomfortable to be a Patriots fan? Can you explain how Robert Kraft's situation should have any impact on Patriot fans' fandomhood on the team when it's two misdemeanors?
Everybody loves that you win.
Joe from Revere, how's it impact him?
Everybody loves that you win in the Super Bowl every year, you know, 6 and 18 years and all that stuff like that. You're in the playoffs, first place every year. Yeah. All good.
40,000 people to rally.
You know, when you travel around, the hate toward the Patriots, it just...
Oh, so you mean nationally.
It gets a little bit more each... It's another brick in the wall each time, okay? So you got Spygate, you got Deflategate, now you got this thing with the owner. I mean, it's just stuff that... maybe you like hearing it, maybe you don't like hearing it, and you've got this multitude of groups. I'm not saying what's right or wrong, I'm just telling you...
What groups?
The landslide of protest toward this event is significant in the local region. You got the Attorney General weighing in last week. You got U.S. Senators weighing in. Maybe you don't care. That's fine. I'm just saying it's increasingly difficult. So how's that?
Okay, well, Dan, how about Red Sox fans don't care that Tom Warner had a relationship and made millions of dollars off Bill Cosby or Roseanne. They don't care that the Red Sox cheated with the watches in the dugout. They don't care that the Red Sox cheated with the Latino signings that they had to get rid of. They cheated all those times. Is it increasingly uncomfortable to be a Red Sox fan because of those three things?
Those are
and they get called cheaters.
Those are all good points. They really haven't taken on the magnitude of Spygate, Deflategate, or this thing. I haven't seen them on the front page of the New York Times. I haven't seen them on the top three stories of the nightly news. They don't have the kind of legs you're talking about. Everything you said, those things are all rooted in truth. I have no doubt about that. I've brought light to all of them. I know what you're saying.
I don't think that the Boston media has covered the Tom Warner relationship at all with Bill Cosby or Roseanne. I think if Robert Kraft had anything close to that, he'd be getting hammered.
What would be the equivalent of that? Right? I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the team. The same way this doesn't have anything to do with the team.
It's just more stuff that you're going to hear as representing the Patriots. I mean, your chaplain resigned, or he left voluntarily when they wanted him to stay, whatever. I mean, it's just things. It's like I said, I listed all these things. It's just a multitude of things that make it mildly uncomfortable for some people, very uncomfortable for Bob Kraft. They just are. This is like, it's on the front page of the New York Times, like every day. They can't want this.
The Red Sox have not had a cheating scandal on the level of what the Patriots have had.
Nothing that
they just haven't
just gets that kind of play. I mean, hey, the Apple Watch thing, they were caught red-handed on that. I thought they got Rob Manfred's been really easy on them repeatedly, and that was one.
He's got that new pitch clock thing coming in.
Oh, yeah.
He sucks.
With the CBA, yeah.
Robot umpire.
Yeah. He changed his name, too, you know. He's not just Bob Kraft.
What?
Rob Manfred changed his name?
Yeah.
What's his real name?
Manfredski?
Manfredi.
Did he change it, or the family?
I believe so. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was after law school, you know.
So he changed his name.
I believe so. I haven't asked him, but his family.
Can you?
I will. How's that?
I mean, it'd go along with everything else about him that's fraudulent.
I asked him about the presidential pardon for David Ortiz.
You know that he traded the pitch clock out.
Oh, CBA. Chip.
He traded it.
Yeah, totally.
Straight up trade.
We'll put that on the table.
Complete trade.
It'll be in my pocket.
One for one.
Comes. Yeah.
One for one. Yeah.
And at three batter minimum, that's never happened. That has never happened for next year.
Why not?
You got to face three guys? No.
I thought that was the deal he made.
Well, but it's not going to come to fruition. It will not happen.
But it was announced jointly.
Deal's a deal.
I understand.
It was announced jointly.
Just telling you,
how do you get around it when they both said it's going to happen?
It's not going to happen.
Players said it's happening and they're not fighting it.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, God.
I'm as sure as hard he was that Gronk wasn't coming back.
Which means he made a bad trade to begin with, and then he's not even going to get the return.
No.
What a fool. A damn fool he is. We're going to get to the action update, get caught up with the guys in the desert. And on top of that, we're going to hear Jim Louse montage and tribute to Rob Gronkowski. If you missed it in the 10 o'clock hour, you have another chance to hear it now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction. Select. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain.
And we assume Gronkowski in the green room, as you heard from Dion, said it's right in the horse's mouth. It seems that the Patriots chose him 42nd overall.
I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Brady play action fake, end zone, caught, touchdown, Gronkowski. His first career touchdown, caught. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski. And he spikes it with a mighty spike.
Rob Gronkowski won't do it.
Floats it long and deep. Gronkowski's got it. Hat trick touchdowns for Rob Gronkowski. His third touchdown of the game.
Yeah, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest ball.
Little pass to the near side, caught by Gronkowski, hit by Briggs, a tackle 20, down the sideline at 10. He's chased to the 5, down the sideline, he somersaults over the pylon, it is a touchdown! He's like one of the flying Willendas!
Yeah, we did good.
Snap to Brady, looks, fires, caught, touchdown Rob Gronkowski, of course! And that breaks the record for touchdowns by a tight end in the NFL season.
Super Bowl! We're going to the ship!
Gronkowski makes the grab left seam. Stiff arms the defender at the 25. Ripped free at the 20. Turned to the 15, 10. Angling right to the 5. His third touchdown for the Patriots!
Beast mode! Protein bars for everybody!
Gronkowski's in line for the bathroom. Goes into the stall, and then turns around to one of his brothers and says, crossies?
Carries across the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Gronk leaps to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
And Gronkowski does the spin inside, and what's he do? He picks his eyes up, because he's looking for Sergio Brown.
Yes, he was just yapping to me the whole time, and that's why I took him and threw him out of the club.
Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand.
Hey, Boston!
Tonight. That's what I'm talking about, baby. I did it my way. For what is a man?
Gronkowski.
What has he got?
Just being Gronkowski.
If not himself.
Where are you? Up in space?
A little nutcracker, dude.
And there's only one thing you can deflate. These nuts!
Shotgun snap to Brady, dropping back, lobs a throw for Gronkowski, left side, makes the catch, over two defenders, tumbling to the two, first and goal to go.
I just told you, they're going to bleed him. He's going to dink, he's going to dunk you, he's going to set you up. Brady sees it, and it's a 29-yard strike to the big boy.
Yes, it was
That's what I'm going to miss, the honesty, the purity of it, where he's sitting there and he knows he's on FaceTime with one of the people in the space shuttle. No, actually in the space station. And he's asking her, are you in space?
Where are you in space?
Where are you in space?
No, I'm actually doing a promo with you. We have you in some room at Gillette with one of your, she's in front of a green screen.
If I lean out the window and wave, can you see me?
But he's so like on it. He's like, that's an honest question. Like, hey, how you doing? You in space? It's like Wiggy. Where you have those concerts?
Where you keep that International Space Station?
Well,
we keep it in high Earth orbit.
I'm gonna miss that.
I am Gronkowski.
I did that Dunkin' Donuts thing with him where we had to do one of those sit downs, and you know, in front of a little studio audience, we're answering the questions, and the whole time machine thing came up. Like, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? And he's there to promote the new. It was the Texas breakfast steak sandwich.
Okay. So good,
yeah,
so good.
And I remember being behind. It? They don't make it anymore.
Limited
but it was on
only.
Like it was on Texas toast. I don't know if you remember it. And it was like a big steak, and he had so much trouble remembering what he was there to pump. And then he called the munchkins. He called them and you get those little
donut
things,
holes.
The nips. No, he called them nips. Like no, this is not alcohol. It's not them. It's munchkins. And okay. So then I took him back in the back room, and I had liners written for him. Like, hey, you're listening to 98.5, the Sports Hub, the home of the Pats. He would sit there and read. He goes, okay. Hey, this is Rob Gronkowski, and you're listening. Jim, you don't have the audio of this, do you? No, we don't.
Try to find it. We'll try to get it.
Okay. Hi, this is Rob Gronkowski, and you're listening to me on 98.5, the Sports Hub, the home of the Patriot, home of the Pats. Because that don't make any sense. What home is it? Like, no, we're the flagship station. He couldn't understand what the flag. Like, he totally doesn't get
listening
the
listening to home.
What am I? Whose home is it?
Yeah.
Was
you're
it the
listening
Patriots
at home?
Home. It doesn't make any sense on radio. Just read it as it's written. Yeah, just read it. And it took about 7 takes. But the fun, just him being that fun guy, is gone.
Gabe is in Watertown. Gabe, what do you have for us today?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
I just want to shout out Jim. Beautiful work.
Jim.
Especially on the first one.
Yeah.
Especially on the first one, man. I ain't no little girl, but, man, I cried. I cried in that first one, bro.
Jim Wells' montage brought people to tears
people
today.
Weeping.
And also, one more thing. And the second one, Zoe, your sound effects, man, during the plays, best part by far of the second one.
Yep. Love it. That second one is Tom Morgan did the second one.
Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Jeff, who's in Merrimack today. Hey, Jeff, what do you got?
What's happening, fellas?
Jeff?
I wanted to talk a little Red Sox. I mean, Beadle, you suggested earlier that the Red Sox haven't had as big of a scandal as the Patriots.
Correct.
And I find that disingenuous, since the 3-4 hitters of the 2004 World Series team were documented juicers during that time. And just because the commissioner's office and C-League's right-hand man, Rob Manfred, were co-conspirators in perpetrating fraud on all of us.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the number 4 hitter pregnant? Wasn't he taking
just before? But, Jeff, you're not putting it in context. You're not putting that in context, because the list that David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez were on was over 100 players long. And so that was not – it was scandalous, yes, but it was not unusual for the time in the sport. It just
I'm
wasn't.
I'm not saying that it is, Mark,
and people didn't care as much.
Nobody cares.
People just didn't care. It wasn't as big of a scandal.
Take more.
But they do care, and the people like Shaughnessy who perpetrate this story that keeps on going. Believe me, baseball was better in the steroid era, but to suggest that there wasn't a scandal, that's only because baseball was
say there wasn't.
What is the story I'm perpetrating? This?
Hello? That there shouldn't be anybody who's associated with steroids in the Hall of Fame. Which I have a question for you, Dan, is when you go back there in July or the summer and you're in one of those wonderful, magical moments where you're talking to these legends, and the ones who in particular are adamant that nobody involved with steroids has a right or place in the Hall of Fame, why Tony La Russa, the overlord of the whole thing, is in there, since he was managing the 88, right, 89 A's. He was all over the McGuire situation in St. Louis. And this thing about, you know, the Harold Baines is just icing on the cake. The guy, forget steroids, but the guy has single.
Writers didn't put him in, though. The writers didn't put him in.
You're all over the map, though. On one hand, you want the Red Sox scandal brought out more, but on the other hand, you don't want these guys held out of the Hall of Fame. I don't understand your.
Seems contradictory.
Not being consistent for me. But anyway, knock yourself out about the Red Sox thing. I certainly did my best. I wrote a column the
you
day
sure
of.
Did.
I said, you know, well, now we know. Our cheaters are better than their cheaters. We won. Yahoo.
So, what's that? David Ortiz coming out. Where's Dan Shaughnessy?
Where's Dan Shaughnessy?
So anyway, that happened. 2009. I thought it was a pretty amazing revelation. But the only, Beatles right, there was 100 guys, but only 4 were named in that one. And 2 of them were, of course, Manny and David. And David has since gotten.
And by that time, it would not even be remotely surprising for anybody to learn that there were star players on steroids in baseball.
Well, and the Yanks had Sheffield, and there was, you know, yes, there was guys all over the place. I mean, Clemens, it was, the thing was, crazy.
Joe is in Saugus today. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I'm curious, where do you get the audacity, Sank, okay, to say these things that you do about the Patriots and how it's uncomfortable for people to be a Patriots fan? Mm-hmm. Listen, I know you work for the Globe, right, and I know the Globe is Red Sox, 101, and I know that you have a political input on this, and obviously it's pushing your agenda to go against the Patriots.
Yeah, well, so how come the owner of the Globe, how come the owner of the Red Sox hasn't talked to me in 9 years, you know? I'll stand on my record on this, okay? So, I mean, knock yourself out again, but, I mean, I think I'm pretty equal opportunity as far as this stuff goes. That's all I would say.
Why is this line getting people so fired up? This line has bothered some people today. The line being a Patriots fan has become increasingly uncomfortable.
You corrected yourself and you said from a national perspective, not locally.
It didn't say in the piece, but yeah.
Right. If that's in the piece, people wouldn't have a problem.
National, local, it's just they're we've dealt with it over the last month.
There are people in the region who are not as comfortable as they were a month or two ago.
There are people that feel the need to defend Robert Kraft because they are Patriots fans.
Yeah.
We've heard that.
It's increasingly uncomfortable.
We've received those calls.
Yeah. So doesn't speak for everybody, and this caller's not, that's great, but some people are. And
it's not required of you to defend him if you're a Patriots fan. No. Even if you acknowledge all the good he has done, both for football and for things outside of football.
Oh, I love the guy. You know what I think.
You can acknowledge all of that and still have no requirement to defend it.
Right.
You don't have to defend it.
You know, I love the guy. It's obviously a bad look. And I'm in a tough spot sitting here when his topic comes up because it's a bad look. He knows it. That's why he's saying I'm sorry.
But you're not required to defend it as a fan. You don't have to. It's not your job.
Nope.
Not your problem. You don't even have to defend it against other fans that want to throw it in your face. Be like, what does that have to do with football?
Right.
What's that have to do with my team? Yeah, he's the owner. But nothing to do with the games being played. Really. Doesn't. We are going to get right back at it with Dan Shaughnessy. In fact, we need to ask you about the Chris Sale deal, which happened on Friday. We talked about it Friday when it went down. It's another pretty major, significant sports story going on.
I'm not as big a fan of it as everybody.
Did you listen to this show Friday?
No. Sorry.
We were a little shocked.
I don't think that Zoe and I are big fans of the deal ourselves.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you're, among friends here, Dan. And Dan's dates are coming up at 12:50. It'll be the third time in five shows that there will be a Dan's date. So all that's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Basically from the beginning, I mean, I knew there was always a possibility of it. I met with Dave and Brian, I think day one of spring training, and I mean, it was a very cordial conversation, I mean, very open conversation. We're sitting around the round table talking about, logistics and, this thing, that thing, all the things that go into this. And I flat out told them I want to be here. And they flat out told me, we want you to be here.
Oh, my God. Thank God it didn't have a curve to it. That it was flat. Flat out. There. Met eye to eye. What do you make of the deal, Dan?
$145 million for Chris Sale. Agreed to over the weekend. Reported prior to the weekend. We talked about it on Friday. Dan Shaughnessy, you're not a fan.
Well, I it's not my money, and if he pitches like he's pitched in the time he has pitched here, that would be great. If you got 5 years of that, of what we saw 2 years ago, the 300 strikeout year and all that, 5 years of what we saw last year, you're starting to teeter on, is it really worth this? And it's trending the wrong way. So you could tell in spring training this was going to happen. I mean, when the owners came out and talked, I mean, John Henry went, they screwed up the Lester thing. And then he walked back on the 30-year-old starter thing, which is what Sale turns.
No, but I understand that you could see it coming, but for this length, though.
Okay.
What did you think it was going to be?
The owner,
three?
John Henry, went to great lengths to say his shoulder's fine. There was no problem with the shoulder.
Dan, and by the way, Dan, when he phoned us last week, You told us this. You said, look out for a possibility of Sale yes. getting extended. You mentioned that your phone call.
It was all over. Again, if you read in the tea leaves, you could see this. And then, you know, Sale talked to Alex Speer pretty openly about how he likes it here. You know, more than you're getting from Betts or Bogarts or any of these guys. So both parties were interested in this. And so it did not surprise me when it happened. My concern is, if I knew I was going to get Pedro, 5 years of Pedro, which he is when he's pitched,
right.
that would be great. But it's just trending the wrong way. He's gone downhill in all of his seasons. 2 years ago when he struck out the 300.
Oh, my God. Beetle went through his ERA, his month-by-month ERA at the end of September.
And last year, they babied him from the jump last year, and you still got only 158 innings in the postseason when there's this notion that he came back and it was all better. No, he pitched 15 innings in 14 postseason games.
Yeah.
That is not an every fifth day starting guy who's going to give you 5 or 6 innings. That's not that guy. And they babied the hell out of him to get to that point last year. I'm just worried
where this
is going to be. If you can get even 2, 3, 4 years, then yeah, this is a great deal. If you're going to get that pitcher to pitch, you know, 200 innings, 30 starts, this is great. My concern is breaks down a year or two and you're getting nothing, or you're getting 10 starts, or they got to continue to baby him the way they have. I just think they really like the player. We all love the player, but how do they know that they're going to get this kind of production over a 5-year term or even a 3-year term?
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned that, you know, he talked about how much he wants to be here, where we played Bet Sound from last week, where he handled the questions perfectly, though, but he middled it, and it was good business sense by him. So say your Betts, and I know it's trying to compare apples to oranges, pitchers and everyday players, but he's your superstar.
Yep.
If he's looking at this and saying, you're going to pay Chris Sale $30 million in year 4, what the hell are you going to pay me in year 4 in my prime?
Betts wants to find out what he's worth. He's going to, you know, we're going to be saying the same thing next year. He's going to be going to his last year. It's like, why didn't they trade him there in the offseason? Will anyone take a deal? Betts is going to be 2 more years somewhere, and then he's going to become a free agent. He wants to be Bryce Harper. He wants to find out what's out there. He's not going to be Mike Trout and hang in. The amazing part to me about this whole thing is that no one talks about Bogarts. Your starting shortstop is up at the end of this year, and Dombrowski has said there's no negotiating once the season starts, which tells me Bogarts is a free agent. There's no one at that position. He's 27 years old. He's won 2 rings, knocked in 100 runs last year, and there are no talks. You're going to lose him. So
seems like
nobody seems to care.
They've chosen their guys.
Yeah,
and if you have to leave one on the outside border or out on
the
satellite, let him sit there.
I had a couple of questions about this Friday, Dan, that still linger for me. One is, let's say Chris Sale goes out and has a great year. How much more would they have had to pay to have at least a little bit more assurance that he's going to be healthy?
Right. So why did you have to do it now?
Right. Why did you have to do it now?
No, it's
number one.
Yeah.
And number two, if you have lost Xander Bogaerts because you decided to retain Chris Sale, it's a mistake.
I worry about that. You both reference it. It's like they're picking the guys that they're going to put the money into, and they picked Sale over Porcello because Porcello's up at the end of the year as well. And Bogaerts, it's like they've just given up on that one. It's just not happening.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they've given up. We might find out that they're trying to negotiate with them later on or next offseason, but if you lose your shortstop because of Chris Sale, who's now going into his 30s, I don't think you did this right.
And the man pitched.
If it's one or the other, I don't know that you picked right.
His durability is really a question.
I think that this signing is the riskiest pitcher signing the team's ever had.
Well, Price was, you know,
Price was younger.
So much money, I know.
Price was younger. He's a lot of money, but he was younger.
Okay.
And he didn't have any.
Well, and Lester,
he didn't have any real issues health-wise that we knew of.
Lester was a horse. Lester was pitching 200 plus innings. He had just won the World Series for you. That's what's so weird. I mean, you know, it's okay to admit your mistake, but Lester was way better risk than this guy, just because of his health and the fact that he had pitched big time in the postseason here. Sale hasn't done that yet. He had an okay postseason last year, but his one start against the Yankees, I mean, he was basically a short guy out of the bullpen.
I mean, 2014, David Price had pitched 248 innings. In 2015, 220 innings.
And then he led the majors in innings the first year here.
Yes, and then he had 230. So, I mean, in terms of risk, in terms of health,
yeah,
I don't know that those concerns really existed with David Price.
And you just signed a
I don't
guy
think they did.
The least amount of innings of his career was last year, 158 for Sale.
Right. And he was what? He was 29 years old at the time he signed the deal.
And
they
babied the hell out of him, which they have done again this year. You know, 2 weeks late in spring training and bring him along slow and, you know, spot him here and there. So we'll see where this is going. But he's your guy now. And I understand fans love him. There's a lot to love. He's a great team guy. He's a great pitcher. But the durability is questionable.
Alan is in California. Hi, Alan.
Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for chiming in. What's up?
Okay, which is worse, the dismantling of this year's Pats team or 2005 after they defeated the Eagles in Super Bowl 29?
Then,
what are we looking at upcoming season?
I said then. I would say 05 because of the landscape of the AFC and how it was constituted at that time. Because I think right now it's still you and Kansas City. You think Kansas City's not losing people? They've lost people. Tell me who's third. I mean, what, Cleveland? Baltimore? What are you going to roll with the Chargers again? I'll take my chances against the Chargers. Jets, he says Jets. I'm kidding. I know you're kidding. Yeah. But I mean, somebody's going to come out of the AFC South and be a contender this year. Could it be Jacksonville with Foles? Like Houston, you know, Deshaun Watson should be good another year advanced. They've added some people. Colts have got a ton of money. And that's a team that lost in Kansas City in the playoffs this year. Colts could come out of the South.
All right. If you're looking for more on the Chris Sale deal, by the way, and all the Red Sox stuff, don't forget coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. It's the season debut of the baseball reporters with Tony Maserati right here on 98.5.
Lady's fired up.
That begins at 6 o'clock tonight, so I'm sure Maz will have plenty to get to on that.
He's been off for 2 weeks.
We have Dan's dates to get to next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates, which is becoming a rather regular segment here on Zolak and Bertrand. Today is March 25th. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, we got the pretty good birthdays today. The date's not so good, but we'll see.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody remember Gene Shalit? I bet Hardy does.
No.
No?
Gene Shalit, sure, on the Today Show.
Yeah. He's 93. That's why nobody remembers him.
Oh, God. I didn't know he was still alive or that old.
You put Shalit in anything, it's good.
Former astronaut James Lovell is 91. Gloria Steinem. How old, fellas?
81.
Gloria Stefan, 56. No,
Gloria Steinem.
81.
She is 85.
All right.
Anita Bryant, who did not like gay people, is 79 today. Remember the whole orange juice thing?
Jesus, Dan.
No, that was her. She became famous for that. She didn't. It was a problem.
She loves not liking gay people.
Good luck. Loves it. Look her up sometimes.
She did Chick-fil-A?
She was selling orange juice nationally, and she is a former Miss America.
Oh, that's
right.
There
was a big storm about it. Yeah, she was anti-gay.
Not a friend of the gays.
Paul Michael Glaser.
Who's that?
I think he's Miami Vice. Am I right? Is he one of the Miami Vice guys? Or is he a...
No, he's
a
John buddy. Johnson.
He's a buddy guy. He's 76. He was in one of those. He was a pair.
Okay.
When was he?
You'd know him if you saw him. Zoe, I got to think of a rom-com maybe that you know him from. Okay. He plays the Diane Keaton's ex-husband in... Something's Got to Give.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Paul
Reiser. Wasn't he
Yes.
Paul Michael Glaser.
Yes.
He comes in with his collar flipped up.
He's got his curly hair, and he looks like he's all disheveled.
If you want to get it back into Zoe's wheelhouse.
Starsky Hutch, he was Starsky?
TV's telling me, yeah, Starsky.
Excellent. Yes. But you have to go recent romantic comedy if you want Zoe to know who you're talking about.
Okay. I love that. That's a good movie. The Hamptons.
Today is Elton John's birthday. He's a big deal.
How old is he?
Yeah, well, why don't you
He's 74 years old today.
I was going to say, about the same as the owner.
He's 72. Yeah. And there's a film coming out about him. Oh, yeah, he and the owner are tight.
Yeah, Rocky.
Where's he been in this thing? He should be standing.
Is it going to be as cheesy as Bohemian Rhapsody?
Just show all
Which
the cocaine.
Almost won
That's
best
all
picture.
I want. If from an Elton John movie, I want to see him going through, you know, reports of like an ounce in a day. You
really?
Know? Every just
Shut up.
I mean, rail after rail after rail.
He's still standing.
Still standing, man.
Yeah.
Any of you guys know the sports connection to Philadelphia Freedom?
Yes. Yes.
We do. Who's it about?
You ever seen Fish and St. Pittsburgh?
No, it's about a world team tennis team, which Billie Jean King. The song is about Billie Jean King.
Philadelphia Freedom?
Yes, it is.
You're no kidding.
I'm just telling you. Look it up.
What?
Yes. And I know her personally.
You ever see Fish and St. Pittsburgh?
Oh, she would verify this. Actually, my niece played doubles tennis with Elton.
Wasn't she coaching a team around here at one point?
Oh, Megan Shaughnessy.
Yes, yes. Wow. So world team. Yeah, brother's daughter. So world team tennis, Bob Kraft made his, that was his first ownership.
Philadelphia Freedom's professional tennis team.
Yes. And
is that how he knows Elton John?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes, it all ties together.
You're kidding me. No. That's how we met
World
Elton
team
John.
Tennis. Martina Navratilova, Billie Jean King, the Boston Lobsters, and Bob Kraft. That was he was original.
The Boston Lobsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some lobster.
Okay, you would know better than I. Was Billie Jean King coaching a team here recently, like within the last 5 years?
She coached the Fed Cup team, which my niece was on, with the Williams sisters.
And that was here, right? That was,
it was in Lowell, Songhees
okay.
Arena. Yes,
I knew
Fed
it.
Cup team.
Yes. I knew she
do
had
you
some...
think your niece could
she
beat
was here. Yeah.
She would
match.
Kick your ass. She serves like 100. She's like, wow. Yeah, she was good.
I just want a volley.
Sarah Jessica Parker's birthday is today. How old? This is one you have to.
She is, I'm going to say 54.
On the nose.
Totally miscast.
Get out of here.
On the nose.
Totally miscast in Sex and the City. She had the big horse head and her hair was always out.
Yes.
How old is she?
54.
54.
Being on the nose.
Random guess.
Tom Glavine.
So cute in Footloose.
Today.
So
not attractive.
Sarah Jessica Parker in Footloose. Oh, she's a
She's girl. Better Footloose.
Remember Footloose.
It's like Jennifer Grey when she was in Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Right.
Then they get older.
You think she was what? Miscast in Sex and the City? Is that what you're saying?
I thought that's like they put her in that role with like Mr. Big, and she was supposed to be like the hottest one of the friends. And I thought she was not that.
No, I think a lot of women get more attractive as they age, but that was not the case for Sarah Jessica Parker. No, unfortunately.
She's still rather attractive.
Right.
That's what you mean.
All right. In the same wheelhouse today is Danica Patrick's birthday. How old is Danica Patrick?
39.
She's 37.
Right. She's very short.
Doesn't she remind you of Nomar, if you really look at her? Nomar's sister.
That's a compliment.
No, that's because of Mia Hamm.
No, they both have that kind of like sneer look, you know, when they look at you.
Yeah, mean mugging. Always mean mugging.
Yeah, don't approach me.
She scares the hell out of me. Yeah,
Jesus,
all right.
Okay, stuff that happened on March 25th.
Oh, my God.
A disaster in 1947, a coal dust explosion.
What were you in here when you did that thing with the, remember the stuff, the flood, that molasses flood?
You love that.
You always have something to love.
Yeah,
that molasses flood.
That was important. Reverend Martin Luther King.
Run, here comes the syrup.
1965, 25,000 people to the Alabama State Capitol in Montgomery. The Montgomery March on this date in 1965.
That's a big one.
I thought you said these dates sucked. You have some big ones.
It's not bad.
Big historical events.
1988, New York City's so-called Preppy Killer case. Robert Chambers Jr. pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter. Remember the Preppy murder?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He was on a Second Avenue bar in New York. Yeah, it was not a good situation.
I wonder if American Psycho is based on that a little bit. Seems
yeah,
like,
you know, it's right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah,
kind of had the look, the whole thing.
Yeah.
What a performance that was.
Whew, that's a good movie.
That was scary. Last year, on this date... Stormy Daniels was on 60 Minutes last year. And that episode was followed by Giannis Antetokounmpo. And more people saw his 60 Minutes episode because it followed Stormy
Daniels. Because of Stormy.
Last year. Stuff that happened on March 25th in 1961, Elvis the King performed on the USS Arizona.
Hey, in a big ship. Hey.
On this date, this is a sore spot for me. 1991, Oscars. Best Picture was Dances with Boredom with Kevin Costner.
What?
Yes, on this date, 1991. Boy, did I hate that. Wow, it was a stupid movie.
What, Dances with Wolves?
Dances with Boredom, yes. I mean, ridiculous.
What the hell's Tecumseh?
In the pantheon of Oscar dogs, that's way up there. You know, so here's an important
one. Dan didn't get it. You just didn't get it.
And you know what? That's one of those. That Dances with Wolves. That's one of the older movies.
Some of the themes were lost on him.
Oh, and you guys know me about the older movies. Like, I tune out. I need them to be like current, modern movies. Yeah. I don't like the stuff that's filled in the old days.
Yep,
old time. That Dances with Wolves, that kept me. And
really?
I remember seeing it. That movie was awesome.
Watched it several times over the years. Very, very good.
You didn't like A Bronx Tale, so you've been disqualified.
How could you not like A Bronx Tale?
Yeah, Hardy doesn't like A Bronx Tale. It's like ridiculous.
It's so overrated.
It's just,
so unbelievable.
On this date in 1995, Mike Tyson was released after three years sentence. He was released from prison on this date.
A lot of dates here. A lot of things.
Well, on this date in 1982, Wayne Gretzky became the first NHL player to score 200 points in a single season. And two other local ones. On this date, 11 years ago, I was there in Japan. The Red Sox defeated the Oakland A's 6-5. Manny knocked in the winning runs, and Okajima got the win, which was a big deal back in the old country for him. And most importantly, on this date, 1971, the Boston Patriots were renamed the New England Patriots.
Oh, wow. That's a good
one. Dude, you got some big dates today.
Okay, so the Dances with Wolves thing, the biggest thing you can say against that movie is that it beat out Goodfellas for Best Picture in 1991.
Now that pissed me off.
1991.
What do you want me to do?
Yes. Is there one in baseball?
There is one in baseball.
I have one for Beetle. That's a baseball. Right in Beetle's baseball wheelhouse.
All right. What do we have?
1997, a trade between the Braves and the Indians. Can you name that trade?
What year?
97.
97 Braves and Indians. Was
key
David,
players
was
changing
David
hands.
Justice moved in that deal?
Yes.
Okay, so that's David
was
Justice.
Was he married to Halle Berry?
Yes.
Yes. Who else was in that deal? What?
Most people were not married to Halle Berry.
Who moved in that? I don't know. I know Justice was in that deal. Who else?
Indians sent Kenny Lofton and Alan Embry to the Braves.
Lofton.
Marquise Lofton. Grissom and David Justice.
All right, the Lofton Justice deal.
Alan Embry, of course.
A lot of moves.
Marquise Grissom. Well, lest we forget, in the year of our Lord, 1910, Hugh Chalmers, president of the Chalmers Motor Car Company of Detroit, announced his Model 30, one of the most luxurious automobiles of its day, would be awarded to the player with the highest batting average in the season. The prize led to controversy when Cleveland infielder Nap LaJoy beats out seven bunts thanks to the Browns' Red Corridum purposely playing deep at third base to go 8-for-9 on the last day of the season, raising his average to .384 in an attempt to surpass Ty Cobb for the batting title.
That's how you beat the shift right there.
Yeah, right,
was it,
bunt.
Was it Nap bunt?
It was short for Napoleon, according to Dan.
Yeah.
Nap LaJoy.
He had his hand in his pocket all the time, played with one hand.
It's cocky?
No, it's
cold?
Napoleon thing.
Is he short? Is he short?
Oh.
Is he short?
It's not really a pocket. It was just inside the coat.
Yeah, I know.
I know what you're saying right here.
I'm way over, by the way.
That's okay. Yeah. It's all right. By the way, another one that Jim just told me was that Aretha Franklin was born on this day.
Oh, sorry.
Obviously,
that's
no longer with us, but
I love her.
There you go.
Queen.
Jim just told me that Nap LaJoy is a Rhode Island guy. Of course you would know that, Jim. Of course you would.
So I'm going to see you guys next Friday. I'm going to go to the West Coast with the Red Sox, Seattle, and Oakland. I'll see you guys when I get back.
All right, buddy. Okay, see you in about a month after that West Coast trip to open up
Friday.
The season.
See you then.
See you, Dan.
Right, Dan.
There he goes.
Have see a good you later, trip. Dan.
Still on. Doesn't
there
care.
There he goes. There all right, goes. 90 seconds, no commercials. Hardy has headlines, 1 o'clock hour on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.